Hello, everyone. I'm here with the paranormalist, Patty Wilson. Patty, what's up?
Well, mad scientists and weird stories.
Wow. Okay, I'm really looking forward to that because that sounds highly interesting. So if you're watching this on a video platform where you can click the subscribe or the like down below, please do that. If you're watching or listening on an audio-only platform, if you can give us a good rating, that would be great. If not, then I suppose we'll understand. We'll be disappointed, but we'll understand. You'll also find links in the description to all of our Facebook groups, Patty's blog, Buy Me a Coffee, our Linktree. Everything will be there. And with that, I think that's all the commercial. So, I mean, we don't put ads in. So if you do see an ad, it's not because we're doing it.
Not at all. So I have to confess that I have always had a passion for weird science. And I'm a Tesla fan. I'm going to introduce you all to John Hutchison, who many of you probably have never heard of. And then some really weird stories. So I want to start out with Tesla. Among the many things that Tesla did and was participating in, it is said that he participated in the invisibility experiments for the Philadelphia experiment. And then he began to realize the potential for it to be deadly, damaging. He could see that the biologicals, meaning the human beings on board the ship, their molecules could very likely be scrambled. And that's when he backed out of the whole thing and said, I don't want part of this, and walked away from it. But it continued with his research, and they did the experiment. He also believed and stated that he did an experiment where he traveled through time. And I believe I mentioned this in a previous episode just slightly. So he did a series of experiments with electricity where he caused it to move in a circular motion. And he opened what we would call probably a wormhole. And when they found him, he was babbling, I won't say incoherently, but he was babbling about he had seen the fabric of space and time, and he understood it now. So that idea has been fascinating humanity for at least a century, maybe more. And I'm not going to focus on Tesla, although I could do 10 episodes on Tesla and his experiments. The man is just an amazing scientist. In fact, some people don't even believe he was human. They believe he was an alien. And he came to Earth and was trying to help us to improve. So he, you know, brought his experiences and his experiments with him to show us things that we had not yet discovered. And I don't know if that's true or it's not true. We do know who his parents were and what have you. But anyway, he's fascinating. But I want to talk to you about another scientist, a mad scientist, as many people call him. His name is John Hutchison. And in the early 1990s, he kind of hit the scene in Ontario, Canada. Now, Hutchison is just one of the most fascinating figures in modern science, if you ask me. In 1979, he started building this array of really amazing high voltage equipment. And as he's working, something hits his shoulder. And he looks down and he sees it's a little piece of metal he had thrown to the, he thought, to the ground and near that machine he was working on. And it flew up and it hit him, like it picked itself up off the floor and threw itself back at him, catching him in the shoulder. And he picks it up again and he throws it and it hits him again. This is replicable. This is science. This is how he discovers something that we today call fundamental frequencies. And these fundamental frequencies shield gravity. They create a situation where gravity can't cross through them. So inside of them, there's no gravity. Now, Hutchison, and this is the reason I brought Tesla up for this particular episode, Hutchison was fascinated with Tesla and the Tesla coils. Now, Tesla coils and an electrostatic generator and other equipment that he was working with, he began putting them together, and that's when he learned how to control the fundamental frequencies. He could make metal levitate and shoot to the ceiling. It would shear itself into pieces, shredding in the zero gravity. Now, today, if you look him up, you're going to come across this phenomena, and it's going to be called the Hutchison effect. So he started an entire field of research that they didn't even know existed. They didn't know fundamental frequencies existed. They didn't know you could shield from gravity, or at least, barring the Philadelphia experiment, they didn't know. So the Canadian government were fascinated with what they saw. And there was a businessman in Vancouver by the name of George Hathaway who heard about the Hutchison effect. And he brought an engineer from Boeing Aerospace and decided he wanted to form a company with Hutchison. Now, you have to understand, John Hutchison is literally the quintessential mad scientist. He doesn't really give a crap about money. This dude is in it for the hardcore science to know. So he's like, okay, fine. You'll buy me more toys to play with? I'm a happy camper. I got this. Then the Canadian government gets involved. Then the United States government gets involved. Then the German government gets involved, and they all try to seize his work. Now, he went from being this prized possession that everybody wanted to they put him in jail because he refused to play ball and sell it to governments. He believed that the people, if there was any practical application to what he was doing, if he could make any kind of thing, what he was shooting for was free electricity, which, by the way, Tesla had shot for. And nobody wanted him to get there. They wanted his inventions so they could militarize them. And John Hutchison wasn't interested. So he goes to jail. And the Canadian government comes in, and the mayor of New Westminster, the town he lived in 2006, declared him a danger to the town. And he continued to work from his apartment. In his apartment was his laboratory. He literally lived and slept with his work most of his life. And then in 2010, the fire marshal comes in and shuts him down, and then they put him in jail. While he's in jail, governments come in and scarf every bit of equipment he has, all his notes, everything that ever was for this guy. And he gets out of jail eventually. He was offered multiple million-dollar contracts by public agencies, including NASA, for his information and to explain to them what it meant, because they didn't get it. You could get all his paper, you could get all of his stuff, but unhappening. Comes home, he builds it again, he manages to round it up a second time, and then they come and they take it all again. They put him back in jail. Then he gets out. Now he's living on a tiny fixed income. He's got his third little laboratory, and a German research team give him seed money to go on the show with his wife and travel the United States to show that he had real world applications. One of the things he could do is treat polluted water. And it was a solution to pollution because he could lift that pollution out of the water. And if you're thinking, why are we not doing that today? It's not profitable. It would shut down an entire industry. Hutchison was harassed and just, it's insane what they did to this man. But I wanted to share his story because he is my entree into the world of crazy scientists. And he is my favorite one, although I have a couple others that I would like to share with you. So one of the things that they thought they were concerned that Hutchison might do was be able to build a time machine. And heaven knows the government wouldn't want us to do that without them getting involved.
Of course not.
So they kept a very close eye on him. Was he capable of doing that? Did he ever do that? I don't know. John Hutchison was a very mysterious man. You can, however, go onto YouTube to this day, and you can find clips all the way back from the late 1970s of John Hutchison and what he did. And I highly recommend you doing that. It's a fascinating thing. And now we're going to move on to a gentleman who might really have created the time machine. In fact, he's one of about three, and his story is just fascinating.
It may have been one I watched recently.
Did you see the one about Mike Markham?
You know, it's going to be sound terrible. Maybe I'm just over-caffeinated. I can't remember the person's name, but basically he ended up disappearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one does disappear, but he comes back a couple times. There's this young kind of upstart scientist. He has a background in engineering and electrical engineering, and he decides to build his own time machine. And it's not really what he started out to do, but eventually the story goes that he sent his couch through this wormhole.
That is the story that I watched. Yeah, and supposedly had a cat on it, but then they came up and said no, that wasn't true. Yeah,
there was no cat. So his story is just fascinating. He lived in Stanbury, Missouri, and he built this thing that he called the Jacob's Ladder. And it basically reduced the stress between the North and South, well, those two poles. And when he turned on the thing, it literally sucked stuff in and then dropped it down other places. So he was able to use a CD laser to initiate this, and then he had to keep building bigger and bigger and bigger, and then eventually he decided to jump into it himself, and he disappeared for a long time. And then when he came back in a different place, and his memory was kind of shot. So it took him a while to remember who he was, and by the time he got back home, everything had been removed and sold off and what have you. So he would do this multiple times, and he's still alive. There's actually schematics of his stuff, and he's still working. I mean, he disappeared at least three times we know of, but he's still out there. And I think we did talk about this in one of the previous ones, but I wanted to touch it because you couldn't possibly go through weird science without touching on Mike Markham and his amazing and crazy story. I was really surprised to find out he was not the only one. However, there was a gentleman by the name of Ron Mallett from Roaring Spring, Pennsylvania.
Sounds familiar.
Who wanted to reconnect with his father. So his dad died when he was a little boy. And this would change his entire life. He would spend a good part of his life learning about laser ring technology. And he works at the University of Connecticut. And this whole thing came out of his desire to be able to go back in time and meet his father again. So, and he worked on building this machine. He called the Audius, so that he could go back and meet his father before his father had his heart attack, and warn his father of what was to come. So talk about wanting to play with the world. He taught about the mysteries of time and space. He became an expert on it, and he crafted equations that derived from the work of Edison as he worked on figuring this out. So his whole experience was in figuring out how to get this done. He wanted to do it by the time of Edison's 100th anniversary. He almost pulled it off too. So he convinced donors to give him $250,000 to start work on building this thing. So he ends up building this device, and he described it like this. Think of a cup of coffee. The coffee represents the empty space. The spoon is the laser stirring the space. Drop the coffee bean, like a neutron, in the cup, and it swirls and swirls in the coffee vortex, pulled through around by the process known by scientists as frame dragging, so basically going with the flow. If you put enough intense swirling and space twists and time twists, it'll loop back on itself. Thus, you can time travel backwards onto itself. In 1973, he held a PhD. He was only one of 79 African-American men in the country to have a PhD at that time in this field. And he worked for years. And there is belief that he actually built a time machine while living in Altoona, Pennsylvania. He was living in the home where his mother had, and his family lived after they left the Bronx, whenever he was a little boy and his dad passed away. He had read H.G. Wells' book, The Time Machine, and he started working on it as a child in Altoona. Now, for those who don't know, we are talking about places that are literally a stone's throw from where Stu and I live. So I found it fascinating. He never talked about wanting to do this in reality until he was well into his adult years. Like, he was in his 40s or 50s when he finally confessed as to what he's been doing all these years, going around through all these different scientific institutes and gathering all this information. And he wrote an autobiography, if anybody's interested, called The Time Traveler. And he talks about his research there. It is believed that he very well might have built a time machine. He says that with his calculations, scientists around the world believe that his process he developed can indeed bend space and time backward.
Yeah. To me, that's almost against Einstein, because, you know, he's, you know, and we've shown this, or at least it's been shown, that as you move toward the speed of light, which is, you know, essentially the cosmic speed limit, time slows for you, but it continues at a normal pace otherwise. So I don't see how you could travel back in time. So you guess, believe it or not, I had these thoughts as a teenager about making a, like a wash tub, but with electromagnets that would spin the matter inside, eventually moving up to the speed of light, or very, very close to it. So, I mean, at the speed of light, I mean, you'd be converted to energy, but it would, in my mind, it would create a pocket of, I don't know what, but a pocket that would essentially would exist not in the past, but its time would slow, so everything else around it would be future. So you wouldn't move in the past, but you'd move a lot. You'd be moving essentially into the future, really. That's how I saw it. So this kind of stuff really, really fascinates me. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, you know, I did have thoughts like that.
No, that's fine.
Even as a teenager.
You know, there are these, obviously I find this fascinating. I don't understand it. I don't purport to understand it. I can't tell you I get it. I literally fell into this stuff with, honestly, the first person I ever encountered was Hutchison. And I remember being 18, 20 years old, seeing for the first time on some little TV show, them talking about John Hutchison and the Hutchison effect. This would have been early 80s. And my mouth dropped open and I was just enthralled. And that's really what opened the door for me. And then over the course of my lifetime, I've watched John Hutchison, you know, from a distance and realized that he and Tesla were probably two of the greatest minds. Not saying other people's minds aren't. And I mean, if Mike, you know, got built a time machine, then good for you. And I don't think that real science is coming out of the science community, to be honest with you. I think it's rogue people with a passion that take an idea and just run with it, and they run like crazy, and then, you know, they get caught by the government. There's only one story I know where the government funded something that could fall into that area, and that would be the chronovisor from the 1950s. For those who don't know what it is, there has been a story since the early 1950s of the Vatican having a thing called the chronovisor. And it was allegedly accidentally discovered by one of their priests who was working on some electronic stuff. And it looked like an old TV set. I mean, like, I've seen pictures of it. You can find them online. And it looks like an old TV set. It looks like a set from an old sci-fi movie. It's got an old round TV screen. It's got this long counter with all these gadgets and numbers and little levers and what have you. But it was created by a team of scientists led by Dr. Pellegrino Maria de Ernetti. And he was an Italian priest who was also a physicist. And he, was fascinated with the concept, and he supposedly helped the Nobel laureate Enrico Fermi, and rocket scientist Wernher von Braun. And according to this, he worked with them and built this chronovisor. And what it did, it wasn't a time machine in the true respect of you going back, but what it did is it was more of a television into time. So you could turn it to different frequencies and witness real life events as they actually unfolded. And you could stand there in the comfort of the room and watch all this. We never heard about it until it came out in some paperwork for the government that the CIA actually was funding this project. Not a surprise considering some of the people involved who were definitely Project Paperclip people. And that according to Ernetti's notes, he claims that he watched, Napoleon. He actually got to watch Zero. He saw Jesus Christ and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said he saw Christ on the cross during the crucifixion. There's a very weird, grainy photograph that was taken. And I don't know if you've ever taken a photograph of like an old black and white TV, but when you take a picture of a TV screen, or I would imagine a computer screen. I don't take pictures of computer screens, so I don't know. But there's like that, the waves, you know, that it looks all wavy because there's frequencies moving across the screen.
Well, you'll get Waré patterns in some aspects, but especially a TV screen, you would most likely catch the horizontal blank, you know, as a line coming through someplace in the middle.
Mm-hmm. But there is a supposed photograph, and I've seen the picture. I've seen copies of the picture on the internet, not the picture, obviously. I don't hang out at the Vatican, and I'm sure they wouldn't let me see all their archives anyhow. Even if I was really like famous, I don't think they'd let me. Anyway, that is a picture of supposedly Christ on the cross, and he supposedly took it from that particular device. And the Vatican shared the technology with, and again, these are the usual suspects, MI6, MI5, and the CIA. They subcontracted and shared the technology, hoping to get quantum access to travel. There's books written about it. People who worked on the project who came away and eventually would write a book about it whenever they grew old. It's a fascinating story, if there's any truth to it at all. Many people will say there aren't, but I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like I said, some of the people that we're talking about here make me curious, because I would not be surprised if this existed in some form, because what they're doing is pulling frequency. So those are the mad scientists that I wanted to share with everybody. I know it's not our longest one. There are a lot of other people that I could have talked about, but these ones fascinated me for so many reasons. And we don't realize that there are so many more of these experiments going on out here. It really makes me wonder who's the next one. Who is the next John Hutchison? Who's going to be Mark, or Mike Markham, and build something in his living room or his kitchen that's going to end up, doing amazing things? And honestly, the truth is that as soon as they find out, the government finds out that this exists, you'll go the same route as Hutchison and the rest. They were all arrested, taken, their stuff was stolen. Mike Markham, his stuff was sold off on multiple occasions when he disappeared. I cannot even begin to guess who actually bought it, who actually took it. I sincerely doubt it was sold for back rent, is what they said. But I don't honestly believe that, because he's actually very famous in the area. People knew about him, and then government officials knew all about him. So it's, it's not an unknown story. And interestingly enough, there are a couple military bases that continue to pop up in all this stuff where they keep taking the stuff. What's the one in Ohio? I can't
remember. Wright-Patterson.
Wright-Patterson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wright-Patterson turns up in a lot of this stuff. Hutchison stuff ended up there. We know some of the other scientists, their stuff ended up there. We know Tesla stuff ended up in that area. And interestingly enough, isn't that kind of an interesting coincidence that that happens to be the UFO area? Because we know that many different UFOs are supposedly housed there. There are so many stories of UFOs being taken there. I even have one from Pennsylvania where the UFO was taken to Wright-Patterson. Kecksburg, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I can't even begin to explain to you how interesting it is. If you know of a mad scientist or a cool experiment, something you'd like to share, we'd really like to hear from you. Because this shouldn't only be a one-way street. If you guys have stories that are fascinating, please share them with us. I just wanted to kind of share with you the madness of real scientists. And I say that not trying to be belittling to people who work in the field, but these guys are amazing and well beyond anything else. These are the driven kind of people like Tesla, who just never gave up. No matter what happened to Tesla's stuff, he never gave up. And interestingly enough, the government came in and stole Tesla's stuff after he died. There are some people who believe that he got helped to die. But many of his records were stolen. And we know through tracing some of it that President Trump's uncle, who was a scientist for the government, ended up working on a project using Tesla's research. So it's still out there, and they still haven't figured out what he, they don't have all the answers, and they're still trying to figure it out. So tonight I raise my hat to the mad scientists of the world. We wish we had more of them. Good night. Good night.